This is Dave Gaharry on the corner of Wall and Fraud. Last week we spoke with Sharon Watkins, former Enron accountant and whistleblower, and Time Magazine's Person of the Year 2002, about how Enron, with the help of its blue-chip auditing firm Arthur Andersen, deceived and robbed millions from millions. Today, we'll see if it's possible to prevent this type of crime in the future. Ralph Nader has taken up the mantle of accounting oversight and reform with a new initiative, the Association for Integrity in Accounting. Mr. Nader, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
What precipitated the formation of this group, and what is it exactly?
Well, it's a group of public-spirited accountants, both professors of accounting as well as practitioners, who are very concerned about how their profession has been hijacked by the large corporate clients and the willing and complicit behavior to defraud investors through inflated accounting assessments by the large accounting firms like Arthur Andersen.
Right, which of course doesn't exist anymore.
Well, there's a snippet left, but it certainly has gone down in history as a disgrace to the accounting profession, which is supposed to provide investors and the public with honest assessments of the financial state of corporations.
Right, which is ironic, especially because Arthur Andersen was the gold standard, wasn't it?
Yes. In fact, when it was started at the early 20th century, it was considered the harbinger of what accounting firms should become.
But greed got in the way. Now, this organization, the Association for Integrity in Accounting, is not just yourself, but there's a whole slew of professors, isn't there?
Yes, and they hope to get more practitioners involved. They hope to get more students involved. They hope to have it affect accounting education. They hope to be able to participate in Securities Exchange Commission proceedings and congressional hearings, putting out reports.
Right, I saw that on your website. You can access that from citizenworks.org. Is that correct?
That's right, citizenworks, one word, .org. You can also get a free weekly electronic newsletter on corporate crime, fraud, and abuse developments, both in terms of the fraud and the crime, as well as what's being done or proposed to be done around the country. It's an attempt to organize citizens who may or may not be individual investors or holders of pensions around this national movement to crack down on corporate crime and get the Bush administration, led by the president, who's very scared of doing anything about corporate crime because obviously he comes from the corporate world and many of these CEOs are his buddies or his administration official buddies and contributors to his campaign.
Right, and he also committed a potential crime in not filing the required SEC paperwork, didn't he?
With Harkin Energy, he was on the audit committee and he dumped the stock. He's also on the board of directors of Harkin Energy. He dumped the stock just before the stock fell sharply. And that story is not yet complete in terms of the SEC and George W. Bush. The Washington Post last fall opened up a new window on that subject in an article, but it didn't follow it up.
Yeah, but can we expect accounting reform from an administration where the chief executive, President Bush, is involved in murky accounting dealings?
I don't think we're going to get much reform anyway on any score dealing with corporate crime or accounting reform. There's a new oversight board under the SEC that Congress created, Accounting Oversight Board. And the first decision they made was to pay the chairman more money than the President of the United States gets, so about $500,000, and the
right.
Other members in the $400,000-plus range per year.
Right.
I mean, the head of the SEC doesn't even make $200,000, so you can see where their values are. They have no sense of moral authority. To start out an accounting oversight board with that kind of outlandish pay
right.
Indicates that they are not going to project moral authority. President Bush has not expanded the number of corporate crime lawyers and investigators in the Justice Department. That is the central evidence that they're not going to do anything about the situation. There are about 70, at the most, corporate crime attorneys in the Justice Department, and they are almost all absorbed with four cases, Enron, Tyco, Adelphia, and WorldCom. And there's no way, even if the SEC budget is doubled, that the referrals from the SEC will be able to be handled by the Justice Department. The corporate law firms defending these corporate crooks, some of them have 1,100 lawyers in the law firm.
Wow. Wow, so this organization that you put together, the Association for Integrity and Accounting, you're going to keep, it said this is from the from your agenda statement, you're going to keep a close eye on the activities of the Securities and Exchange Commission and other regulatory boards, and you also are calling for the abolishing of the FASB, the Financial Accounting Standards Board.
Well, the accounting group, the new one you just mentioned, they haven't formally decided that, but I know that some of the leading members who founded this group with us look very askance at the at that organization. It is basically powerless, often succumbs to pressure from corporate clients and their lobbyists, and perhaps would be better off disbanding.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that with Arthur Levitt. He was a guest here a while back. He had a lot of trouble with the accountants, as I'm sure you're aware.
He did.
Yeah, and you you pretty much put the blame on stock options, where you say that you're going to call for increased transparency in stock options, and you call them the steroids of corporate greed.
Yes, it's really interesting. You can have a $40 billion company run by one CEO and a board of directors. And if those, especially if the CEO wants huge compensation for himself, he will generate a corporate culture that will lead to the inflation of profits by the company, mm-hmm. and that will lead to downloading and offloading of debt to make the books look better, that will lead to cooking of the books in such a way that the stock goes up. Therefore, his and his top corporate colleagues' stock options go up, and they end up making more money. And of course, if this is done to the extreme, what happens is, what happened to WorldCom? 20 million monthly paying customers, pretty healthy company, going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. So these CEOs and their colleagues, through their infinite greed, that would shock their predecessors,
right.
Their infinite greed was in effect destroying their own company. And that's why corporate executive compensation is such a central issue. It must be controlled by a vote of the shareholders with full disclosure. Right now, the shareholders own the company. They don't control the company.
Right. Right. But is the public going to be able to muster the energy and interest to make sure that this can happen?
Well, first, it can't be distracted from this trillion-dollar-plus corporate crime, fraud, and abuse pattern that has looted trillions of dollars from millions of workers.
How much money? About $7 trillion?
Well, it's hard to say how much was just speculative excess of a normal kind, but we can use the word trillions of dollars from millions of workers and individual investors and their pensions. That's accurate.
And nobody's gone to jail for this yet.
Not one CEO has gone to jail, has been convicted, or is in the advanced stages of being prosecuted. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to escape entirely. Some of their subordinates have pleaded guilty and, copped a plea, had a suspended sentence, or gone to jail for a few months.
Right.
But basically, unless they go to jail for years, the word will not spread throughout the corporate world that crime does not pay.
Right.
I mean, I've talked to corporate lawyers in the past, and I asked them candidly, would your client trade off 2 years in a nice, comfortable jail if he could get away with a $100 million heist? He said, in a minute.
Yeah.
They even talk about that.
Right.
Because, first of all, the jails are quite comfortable. They improve their golf game. You know, they swap stories with their friends.
They
have
internet access, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's the whole works. So the corporate crime law enforcement process in this country is a total farce. Today, the Securities Exchange Commission will probably issue a settlement with Citigroup and Smith Barney and a number of other Wall Street firms,
right,
for misleading over a period of years their investors, otherwise known as telling their investors to buy a certain stock,
mm-hmm.
while they were deprecating it or dumping it privately. That is serious fraud. That is billions of dollars. This settlement is $1.5 billion.
Right.
It is a slap on the wrist. It doesn't require any admission of wrongdoing by Citicorp.
That's right.
It exonerates personally from criminal prosecution, inferentially, from some of these executives. It's a farce.
Right,
and to top it off, it's deductible.
Right. Well, that's not for certain. We don't know if it's going to be deductible, and we don't know if insurance companies are going to pick up the tab. But.
Well, even if they don't pick up the tab, when you consider the size of those firms, Citigroup alone has $800 billion in assets.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider the size of the firm and the corporate lawyers' smarts who are representing these firms, you can be sure that some of that $1.5 billion is going to be pawned off on the U.S. taxpayer.
Absolutely, but look at who we have in charge here. We have William Donaldson, who's the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, who was the chairman and CEO of the New York Stock Exchange during the floor broker scandal. We have Richard Grasso, who sat on the board of Computer Associates and being investigated for accounting irregularities. He still sits on the board of Home Depot. We have Richard Grasso on the New York Stock Exchange nominating Sandy Weill from Citigroup to represent public investors on the New York Stock Exchange's board. Aren't these people too far out of touch to get anything done?
Well, yeah, and of course, just because the long arm of the law is not reaching them. Of course, Sandy Weill had to drop that, as you know.
Right.
He didn't go on finally because there was some public uproar. I mean, if it wasn't for a few reporters like Gretchen Morgenson of the New York Times, these guys would get away with even more. I mean, this is why it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again because crime pays. You know, most of them get away with it. A few get a few months, and the rest get a slap on the wrist. I mean, this settlement today by the Securities Exchange Commission, which also involves Elliot Spitzer,
right.
No evidence of wrongdoing is admitted. That means that this settlement will be a shield against the civil private lawsuits brought by investors through class action.
That's
because
right.
If there is evidence of wrongdoing, then, of course, you can say, all right, Citigroup and others are going to have to pay millions of dollars more in the private litigation.
Or billions.
Yeah, again, they got away with no admission of wrongdoing. And while Elliot Spitzer has done more than any other attorney general, he at least ought to have the candor to say, the reason why I never take these guys to court, the reason why they know I can't take them to court, the reason why I have to settle for pennies or slaps on the wrist,
right,
is because I don't have the lawyers, and the governor and the legislature will not give me the lawyers to take on the large corporate law firms that can drag these cases on indefinitely.
Yeah, they're certainly not going to put an army in place that's going to arrest them for doing what they've been doing all their lives, right? I mean, we can't expect the government to make sure that they protect the citizens from these corporate criminals.
That's right. And what's very important is that when Citigroup and its law firm knows that Elliot Spitzer and the SEC are not going to take them to court right from the get-go, then they can bargain really tough.
Right. And they did. Like you said, they never admit nor deny wrongdoing.
Right.
They always get away with not having to call it fraudulent,
right,
or that they did anything.
We still have a criminal and civil system where a man or a woman who forges a $500 check out of poverty to pay their rent will go to jail for a much longer time than these corporate crooks who steal billions of dollars and enrich themselves beyond the dreams of avarice.
Right, exactly, beyond the dreams of avarice. And it's probably not going to change, right? I mean, and that's why you put together this organization.
That's right. And that's why we need a coalition. That's why we want all of you to log in to citizenworks.org. Get that free electronic weekly newsletter that's very clearly written, and begin talking to your friends and co-workers and neighbors, because if we don't develop a grassroots citizen movement to crack down on corporate crime, fraud, and abuse, not only millions of workers and small investors are going to continue to be cheated, but the very economy is going to be shaken and depleted and weakened as a result. Corporate crime is a cancer in our economy.
Right. So what can your average person do? They log in, and then what?
They log in. They establish communication back and forth. They get this newsletter, which recommends all the things that can be done. For example, in early April, we had a big business day in locations all over the country, universities and other places where there are demonstrations and teach-ins about corporate crime, fraud, and abuse, how you can learn more about it, what levers you can use vis-a-vis your own district attorney, your own state attorney general, your members of Congress. Your members of Congress have got to hear from you, like Senator Hillary Clinton. She hasn't done anything on corporate crime, fraud, and abuse. Part of it is the campaign finance racket, where these same corporate crooks pour money into the coffers of various senators, representatives, and governors. So citizenworks.org, you'll be in touch. And without you, it's not going to happen. Everybody's got to do their part, obviously. Everyone's got to do their part.
Well, let's hope some people who are listening today and will listen on the archive broadcast will do their part, and they will go to citizenworks.org and examine what Mr. Nader has to offer. Mr. Nader, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and thank you so much for everything that you've done in the past. It's incredible. You're an incredible man. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your good program.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.